Hey, Emmy, how's it going?
Charlie, my friend, how are you? How's everything?
I'm good. I'm pretty good, thanks. How about you?
Fantastic. Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. I came off of a pretty fun weekend, and yeah, back away now, working away. How
That's
was yours?
good. It was great. I'm trying to use enough caffeine to get going today.
Ah, yeah, you and me both. It's what is it? It's 1 o'clock. I feel like I just in the last 30 minutes woke up. So, yeah, you and I.
Yeah.
You and I are in the same boat. I'm on coffee number three so far. So,
Yeah.
yeah.
So what's up?
Yeah. Listen, my friend, I wanted to reach out to you specifically. The finance department emailed me this morning regarding that one carrot that we sold back in
Okay.
the beginning of June. Give me one second.
Okay.
Actually, no, it was sooner than that. I sent it out May 15th. It was for
Okay.
that 102 round, the FSI2. It's just
Yeah.
it looks like it hasn't been paid for yet, and it's a little bit past due. And they asked me to kind of reach out just to see what was going on.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. So I'll check on that and send the payment in. So the best way is for me to make a big picture of a check and send it to you. Is that right?
That's the most convenient way. Yeah, you can send it to my cell phone and I can get it taken care of immediately through accounting. You can send it to my email. It's whatever's convenient for you. But I guess easiest is, yeah, just take a picture of it and send it to my phone. So yeah,
Okay.
I just wanted to just stay on top of that, see what was going on. But yeah, not a problem.
Okay.
I'll be on the lookout for that.
All right.
So yeah, it's exciting times. So prior to these, we were 2 for 2 with the lab stuff. Now we're 2 for 2 with the natural. We're doing quite good.
Yeah, I usually have a good closing rate once I pinpoint exactly what the customer wants, and just like we've done with this 1.5 carat oval, we try to get exactly what they want on the first try, and if it's not quite what we want, then we
Yeah,
get
fine
much
tune it.
closer on the next try.
Yeah.
Yeah, the second try.
Yeah, it
So
works.
our
It works
process is
and
pretty much designed to be easy for everybody and easy for me.
yeah, absolutely. I have a similar system. Yeah, I like to send things out with like a good, better, best. So ideally, I mean, if it's like $50,000 diamonds, it's a little bit different. But with most cases, I like to send like a good, better, best, and typically one of the three will be a hit. So,
Yeah.
yeah, we did a little additional legwork with that 150 oval, but we got it done, and I'm excited. So on to the next, essentially,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah. I'm considering that one sold. He hasn't actually bought it, paid me, but I consider that one already sold.
We got
So I'm going to call him
there's
today.
yeah, there's plenty of time
Sunday.
left on that one anyway. Yeah, we finished that sale last week, so yeah, we still got a bunch of time for that. It's just the that round they wanted me to kind of call and then see what was going on. So,
Okay. Sure. Yeah,
yeah.
that one, the ring is not finalized, but he has definitely purchased the diamond, so that's no problem.
Okay, perfect, perfect.
Well,
So yeah,
and then the other
send
one
that
I
over
called him
to
today.
my cell phone and everything will be good. And oh, by the way, I was going to ask you, did you buy any of that SpaceX stock?
No, I didn't.
You
Hasn't it
waiting
gone
for?
down since then?
Yeah, it's kind of dropped a good bit. I was gonna buy, and then I last minute I was like, no, I'm not gonna fall into the trap. I'm gonna wait till it goes way up as it did, and I'm gonna wait till it crashes as it's kind of doing now. And I think I'm gonna get in soon though,
Yeah.
so it's starting to stabilize. But I was just curious
Yeah.
because I know you had mentioned that you'd done like stock stuff, so I wanted to just ask you what you thought.
Yeah, I was listening to some advice from some people. I get their newsletter, and they said, don't buy SpaceX right before the IPO because you'll probably end up paying too much, then it's going to drop. But they recommended companies that provide products to SpaceX because SpaceX will probably be have great demand for those products.
Yeah.
Like there's a certain process they use for making their rocket engines. It's called let's see what they call it. Oh, it's a 3D printing process with metal,
Yep.
but apparently more advanced than anybody else. And so SpaceX was able to make their rockets a whole lot more efficiently and cost-effective and all that. So they said, if you buy that stock while it's low, it could chance that could increase by multiple times, you know, before they before it maxes out. Because, I mean, SpaceX is going to be building thousands of satellites.
Yeah. That's what I figured, too, the satellite building and then expanding. I feel like, because his, what's it called, Starlink, I feel like that's going to be, like, the better success or the more success or the more growth that Starlink has, SpaceX will have as well, because I feel like they're correlated, especially if he's building more satellites. So, yeah, that's just...
I've always thought Elon Musk's idea of moving everybody to Mars was probably going to be not real practical, but when I've heard all the things he's doing in addition to that, I can see the brilliance behind it all of all the... He's working with NASA now and actually doing a better job than NASA. So he's a smart guy. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, no, I'm glad he was actually, like, giving back to some degree as well, like the acquisition of Twitter, making, I guess, that platform a little bit more more free, so to speak, being able to, give politicians a voice, or anybody a voice, really. And I liked how he was during the, I guess, once the Ukraine-Russia war kind of spiked, he was giving Starlink to areas that were completely destroyed, where they didn't have, like, service and stuff like that. So I think he was giving back. Hats off, you know.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, you can only spend a few hundred billion dollars in your lifetime if you really try.
I know. You've got plenty more to spend.
Why not spend the rest of it? Just a bit away.
Yeah, I know. That's what they're – I don't know. I feel like they should – they could do so much more good. It's just kind of a shame that they don't, like, build more hospitals or build more – schools or maybe help contribute to making like education more accessible to even folks here in the U.S. or making it more affordable rather. You know, it's just like about $1 trillion. It's like the problems I could solve, you know?
Yeah. My brother-in-law used to say, well, you can only eat one steak at each meal. And
yeah,
you can
exactly.
Only drive one car at a time.
Yeah.
You can have multiple houses, but you can only be in one of them at a time.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Beyond, like, your personal purchases, like, yeah, you buy a big house or two, you buy a couple of nice cars that you like, buy some nice clothes, and beyond that, it's like, well, now what? You know?
But I'm also, you know, in favor of the way these guys will use their money to build a new business, which then provides jobs and opportunities for a lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I've always been a big fan of Tesla.
Capitalist. What'd you say?
I said I've always been a big fan of Tesla as well. Like, just the growth that it's had and the jobs and stuff like that it's been able to provide. Even here, like, there's a Tesla that's local that offers, like, part-time summer jobs, like, very regularly for, like, students and stuff like that.
That's good.
Yeah, I think it's great. It's a net positive, I would say. And then all the Neuralink stuff is cool, too.
Yeah.
Trying to find ways to find around, like... trying to find ways fighting like neurodegenesis and stuff like that, like unique. It's an net positive, I think.
Yeah, these guys could partner with some of the more revolutionary medical discoveries and turn them into something really great.
Absolutely. Cancer research, imagine that. If they put a sliver of money into cancer research and, you know, hopefully there's a cure or hopefully there's a way to at least increase the odds of survival for, like, terminally ill patients, like stage 4, you know?
Yeah. Well, the risk is, in fact, a friend of ours is using it. And, you know, I'm sure that the mainstream medical media and all that would completely frown on it.
Yeah.
But believe it or not, we have a friend who she's been battling cancer for a couple of years. She's one of, and my wife has been going with her to chemotherapy and that type of thing to help her through it. But in January of this year, her doctor said her CT scans showed that she has a lot of other cancer tumors in her lungs and other parts of her body, and he said she's got about 2 months to live.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And we heard about another therapy.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you where it is, you'll immediately recognize it. And it's been getting great results with cancer. Like 80% of the people who use it are seeing either a complete recovery or shrinking of tumors or stopping of the progress of it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You want to guess what it is?
What is it?
It would cause Anthony Fauci to have a cow. It's actually ivermectin and another drug called fenbendazole.
Ivermectin, really?
And fenbendazole used together. Not expensive. So guess what happened after, okay, now it's been 5 months, 4 months, been 6 months since the doctor told her that. In her last CT scan, it showed that all the shrinker, all the tumors have shrunk since.
Oh, wow.
January. Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, you talk about stage four, when you've got a couple months to live, I don't know what you sure you call it, but that's the last stage for sure.
Yeah,
you don't have much
that's
else
like
you can do.
Stage five. Yeah, no, but it's the whole cancer thing. It's like, because my father passed away from it a few years ago. He had stage four colon, and it spread to his lymph nodes. And something I learned is typically when it spreads to your lymph nodes, it's pretty much game over because your lymph nodes fight the cancer and stuff like that. So, yeah, you know, I was reading way into it, and there's so many different chemos. Like, they have there's a method to essentially, like, take, like, a blood test or take, like, a sample of the cancer and send it to, like, some lab in Switzerland or something, and they test it with, like, thousands of different chemos, and they pinpoint the one best one that reacts to the cancer the best, and they prescribe you that one. It's stuff like this exists. The problem is it's extremely expensive, and, like, the average Joe can't afford to do something like that. So the hospital, at least up here, the hospital, or the hospitals, will kind of just prescribe, like, just the standard, like, default chemos, and just kind of monitor and hope for the best. And it's like, if we just got to a point where stuff like that was more accessible and easier, it's so many people would be, you know, it would help so many people. It's like, what the heck?
Yeah.
Like, these billionaires can't take, like, 1% of their money and help something, like, help more cancer research and stuff like that, you know? It's frustrating.
Yeah. Well, this treatment is not expensive. It's like, you know, maybe a couple of $100 a month for the ivermectin and the fenbendazole.
Yeah.
And it works. And so she's really on her way to recovery. Her doctor doesn't like to admit it. Guess what he said the last time she saw him?
That it was like a false positive.
He said, you still have a lot of cancer. So, so
what a guy.
We don't like him very much. Yeah.
Shame on him, too, because, like, any kind of, when you're dealing with something like that, with, like, a terminal illness, any little bit of good news will grant so much hope for a client and their family. Shame on him for speaking negatively.
No,
or kind of dampening it.
The will to live is really important. It makes a big difference. And
yeah, absolutely. I think my dad kind of just gave up because he was, they had admitted him and he was in the hospital for a couple months and they were just treating him with chemo and whatever. And they kept like suggesting hospice and stuff like that. And he was like, no, I'll get better. And this went on for weeks. And it was again, like they were treating him, blah, 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 following up with him. And they were like, you know, you should really consider hospice. And he was like, no, I'll be fine. I'll get better, blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, I've been seeing him, like, at the doctor's office, or I guess his room, regularly, and I'm watching him decline. And then he finally accepted the hospice stay. And then less than a week later, he passed away. And I was like, I wonder if he just kind of gave up. Just kind of, you know.
Yeah.
Threw in the towel.
Yeah, I think you can live a lot longer if you want to. But, you know, if you're in pain and all that stuff, you kind of wonder, what's the point?
Yeah. So his situation, I feel like he just gave up. He was hopeful for a long time. Yeah, and then he just got tired, which I don't blame him because he was, like, just slowly decaying every time I saw him. And by the end of it, he looked a skeleton. So I don't even blame him. But,
yeah.
It's pretty shitty, this stuff.
It's good to know, though, that there's something that's actually working, and it's been verified by, by actual clinical studies, and you can see that the National Institutes of Health website, that the ivermectin and fenbendazole actually saving lives.
Good. That's fantastic. Yeah, I'm all for it. Listen, if my tax dollars go towards more research and things like that, I'm all for it. But
yeah, absolutely. That's one thing we're spending money on.
If it's a net positive for me and my neighbors, I'm all for it. I'll pay the taxes. Well, I guess I don't have a choice ultimately, but I'll be much happier to pay the taxes if it's actually going towards something that's going to help, you know, my city or my state or whatever, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
But,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we really rambled a bit, huh? So quick little, I guess, recap. Yeah, so I will be, I'll look out for that, the text message of that check for that, the 102 round, for the $2,116.50. And, did you make up that list, by the way, of some of the lab stuff you wanted to keep for stock?
Actually, I sent you a text about it, and what happened was I can make a list, I started on it, but then I realized the problem we keep running into is that the prices at RDI for lab grown diamonds is just hard to match the prices that customers see. So a normal part of my process, I've been doing this for about a year and a half or 2 years, a normal part of my process is just to let people look at the Nevada website and choose the diamond they like.
Yeah.
Because they look different. You know, all the fancy cuts, there's a lot of variation in the facet patterns and things like that. So they look at the ones, choose the ones they like, including the length and width ratio and that type of thing.
Yeah.
And then we order it. And so that makes it easy for the customer. They love that process. It's not so much the case with natural diamonds because they're a whole different product and the pricing, you can be more competitive in that category.
Yeah, I'll just be blunt. Yeah, the lab grown's hit or miss. I'll be honest. I have clients that reach out to me and they tell me that our pricing is great, and then I have clients that reach out and tell me that our prices are horrible. So like labs are, I'll just be honest, completely, it's quite volatile with us, but the thing that obviously we do shine in is the natural diamond. So we have the products, we've got the competitive pricing, we're not the cheapest, we're not the most expensive. However, what differentiates us is all of the additional perks as well. I always ship for free. I've got that lifetime one-to-one trade on all of the natural products. I've got the gem print that saves the clients money on their insurance. I've got the 2% quick pay discount as well. It's one package deal, essentially. And the lifetime, by the way, comes huge. Like, if we pretended that all of the diamonds in your inventory that you keep for stock were natural and bought from us, at any point you could swap those out for whatever you need. Let's say there was a 2-carat Asher that you bought 5 years ago from us, and you just haven't been able to sell it, and a client comes in looking for a 2-carat round or a 2.25 round, whatever. You could trade that Asher back to me, and I'll credit you 100% of what you paid for that Asher to that round. So huge tool. And then with the clients as well. Let's say you did sell that 2-carat Asher, and then a few years goes by, and they want to celebrate with a 3-carat Asher. You can give me that 2-carat back, and I'll credit you 100% towards that 3-carat for the client. So.
That's good. You know, I have done business with a company called Aidmore Diamonds, and they've always had a, you know, good trade-up policy, maybe not quite so cut and dried as yours, but a customer came back to me who had bought an engagement ring a couple of years before, her fiance, and she wanted to sell it because of the divorce.
Yeah.
But Aidmore wouldn't even make an offer on it. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, I would have been satisfied to discuss the credit with them, but they just didn't even want to talk about it. And so that's when I found out that basically what you're saying is a more realistic trade-in guarantee because you will give a credit for it same amount we paid for it.
Yeah,
any time
absolutely.
In the future.
Yep.
They wouldn't even give us half of what we paid for it.
Exactly, so, and that's what that's what's frustrating when I talk with somebody and they tell me that I'm more expensive. Like I'm really not. With what I'm offering, I'm really not. I'm right where I need to be.
Yeah.
And for instance, there's a client down in Florida that I work with. I took over the account recently, so I don't know too much about them. I've been slowly just learning more over, you know, the course of the last few months and such. But they had bought it was something strange. It was like a 180 pair or something like that years ago, well before I had ever worked with them. And she needed a 2-carat round for the following day. And she mentioned to me that the trade-up, and I was like, yeah, this is the perfect candidate. It was our pair that she bought way long ago. And I sent her a beautiful 2-carat round diamond, and the client loved it and bought it immediately. And then she credited that 180 pair all those years ago towards it, so she made more profit, you know? Like, this is where the service comes into play. I had another one, a guy in North Carolina. I sold him, this was back in December. I used the Asher example because it was an Asher. I sold the guy a 2-carat Asher, and the guy unfortunately got a divorce. And he brought the stone back to my client and said, listen, like I don't need it anymore. The marriage didn't work out, whatever. And my client took the stone back, and he called me. He goes, I don't know what to do with this thing. How am I going to sell a 2-carat Asher? I was like, don't worry about it. What is popular in your store? Ovals, rounds, marquees. Okay, no problem. I'm going to send you a list. Pick something for inventory. And we swapped it out, and I sent him a marquee for that. So.
Yeah.
Real world example. It comes into play.
I can see that. So, you know, when you think about the lab diamonds and trying to compete on them, we're talking about a lot of times they're $200 or $300. And I know that in your type of work, that is not enough money. I mean, it's hard enough money in a sale like that to even be worth worrying about it.
Exactly. The margins on lab, especially now, are so small. It's almost negligible. Also, the consumers are starting to catch on as well. So, like, labs have been a thing for a while, and they keep getting cheaper and cheaper. There's nothing that stops the end consumer from going online and buying a 3-carat round lab diamond for $400, if that, right? And so they see this information online, and then they go to a jeweler, and the jeweler, he goes there with the same specs. I want a 3-carat round lab, whatever. The jeweler is charging them $5,000 for the entire project. But the consumer, it goes online and sees the exact stone he wants for $300, $400. You know, so it's a lot of the jewelers are kind of shooting themselves in the foot, too, I've noticed.
Yeah, you're right. And you've got to find the right balance. Like, just for example, the... At Nevada, they have lab diamonds that are so cheap that I can mark them up. I'm actually going to move up to 4 times cost on the lowest priced items.
Yeah.
And it's still a good deal for the customer, like $800 for a 3-carat oval, for example.
Yeah.
But they're not going to get mad because they pay too much. But I'm going to still make a pretty good profit on like $600. That isn't very much, but it's enough to...
Profit's profit.
I'm not going to settle for 2 or 3 or anything like that. I'm not going to try to compete with the cheapest sellers.
Yeah.
They call it the race to the bottom. Who really wants to win the race to the bottom?
That's exactly what lab diamonds are doing. It's a race to the bottom, and the end consumers are catching on. And, luckily it works out because we've noticed this trend for a while, but more people are going towards natural diamonds. But, like, now more than ever. Because, like, you can get, you know, before it was like lab diamonds were a cheap alternative. And now the naturals, especially like 1.5 carat and below, have become so affordable. The average Joe could get like a very nice 1-carat diamond or a 1.25 diamond for a reasonable price, you know. So it's helped the natural diamond market, which is nice.
I think so too. You could say that the price, it was time for a correction on pricing because it had just gotten so expensive. Even a 1-carat round, you know, you had to have about $6,000 for a nice 1-carat round wholesale.
Yeah.
Previously, and now it's back into a range that a lot of people can afford that are not rich.
Yeah, I know, exactly. It was $6,000 or something like that back then, and let's take a look. I'm going to pull the inventory up right now. So the average 1 carat around, I mean, GSI one, $3,000. Yeah, GSI one, $1.25, $3,000. Like,
yeah, that's about what, you know.
1 carat IVS two, $2,500. You know,
yeah.
it's become so affordable. I have 1 carat for $2,000.
Yeah.
You know, FSI two, 1 carat, $2,200. Like, yeah, it's the folks that were focused so much on lab diamonds are kind of, I don't know, they kind of cornered themselves because now naturals are so cheap and people are starting to catch on and convert over, which is nice because natural diamonds are a lot more fun to work with than lab ones. So, yeah. But, alrighty, my friend. Yeah. Let's, what was that?
I said labs are easy. That's one thing I can say. You don't have to spend a lot of time looking for a nice one and all that, and send two or three back because they weren't quite eye clean and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But still, it's a good business to be in. Definitely want to stay in the natural diamond business. Well, thanks very much.
Yeah, and, absolutely, Charlie. We'll stay in contact. Let me know if anything. Let me know like if you need anything for like jewelry, diamonds, whatever. And then I'll be on the lookout for that the check for that round diamond, okay?
Okay, yeah, that will be not very long from now. By the way, my regular business hours here are about 11 a.m. Eastern time to 7 p.m. That way I get 8 hours, but it allows customers to come in after work.
Yeah.
So if you call before 11 and I don't answer, it's probably just because I'm still, I'm not actually open for business yet.
Yeah, I gotcha. Okay, no worries. I've kind of noticed that too. We typically chat around lunchtime. I noticed.
Not that I don't want to answer, but I'm really not ready to start doing business.
Yeah, absolutely.
I haven't had my fourth cup of coffee yet.
I'm finishing up my third now, so I'll be on the fourth one soon.
Well, actually, I never drink coffee. I haven't had coffee for about 25 years.
Oh, you listen, you're missing out.
I get my caffeine in other forms. Once in a while, an energy drink, but most of the time, it's an herbal supplement that I buy called Guarana.
Oh, okay.
It comes in a tablet. But the difference between that and regular caffeine is that it doesn't give you that huge spike in energy and then followed by a crash.
A crash, yeah.
It's more of a gradual increase and a gradual reduction. So that's kind of good.
Yeah.
Keeps me from spiking my blood pressure to try to stay alert.
Yeah. Good. Tea is nice, too. I like tea.
What did you
say? I said tea. I like tea for caffeine as well. A little bit of tea during lunchtime, something like that. Not bad.
Tea.
Yeah,
it gives me more jitters. Though, and I don't get the jitters from this Guarana unless I just overuse it.
Yeah.
It's just for me anyway. I thought I'd just pass it on.
Yeah. Okay. Good to know. And one final question, Charlie. The info at sables.com, that's still a good email, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. Okay. Just updated that then. Cool. Awesome, Charlie. Listen, we'll...
do get so many emails, and being only one person, I don't always see every email unless you ask me about it.
Okay, yeah, no worries. I was just curious because I forwarded the invoice for that round to your email just so you had it physically in person to look at.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason I was asking. But okay, sounds good.
Okay. Yeah, I see it right now. I just looked at it. Well, thanks a lot.
Perfect. Of course. You as well, Charlie. We'll talk soon.
See you.
Yep. Bye-bye.